And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he, back with you live today. I had to take yesterday off because I had a summit that I needed to attend, and it was just no way to get out of it and get to my program as well. It proved to be worth it, folks. I'll tell you all a little bit about it. It was off the record, but I can tell you some broad strokes about it as we get further into the program. In fact, Wednesday night before going up to Washington, D.C., I was at a rally that made some national news in Chesapeake, Virginia, where I used to live. Don't live in Chesapeake anymore. So you harassers, don't go to Chesapeake looking for me. You won't find me there. My church is still there, but I no longer live there. But had a big rally out in front of Chesapeake City Hall, 1,000-plus people there, and I had a chance to speak to that rally. It was a great, great event, and of course, it was about the Second Amendment. So, folks, there's been a lot going on, and of course, I've been watching the impeachment debacle as it continues today, and I want to talk about that as well. And so, look, I'm going to try to get to your calls early again because I'm sure there's plenty that you all want to talk about and want to be able to express yourselves about. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Make a note of it. Have it ready. So when that thing strikes you, you say, you know, I've just got to say something about that. You can get right on the line, and I'll get to you as soon as I can. I'm your host, of course, E.W. Jackson, here on American Family Radio. The program is called The Awakening because we're trying to wake people up, helping people to understand, we hope, what is going on in our country and how bad it really is. I mean, folks, we are witnessing a kind of spiritual and moral and cultural meltdown in some precincts of our country, in a whole lot of precincts of our country. But I'll tell you what, American Family Radio is standing in the gap. You and I are standing in the gap. The hosts on this network are standing in the gap. Our management is Tim and Tim Wildman and others are standing in the gap, trying to uphold the truth, to lift up a standard, as George Washington said, to which good and honest people can repair. So we are not the folks. We are taking this stuff very, very, very seriously, and I know you are too. Now look. The legislature, led by I can barely say it, Governor Ralph Northam. I mean, yikes. But the legislature, he's now got a majority in the House and the Senate, and they're going to be coming back in the session in January. And when they come back in the session in January, folks, Katie, bar the door. I'm serious. It's not going to be pretty. And we need divine intervention, so please pray for us. They're talking about probably one of the most radical gun so-called control laws. I say anti-Second Amendment laws that any state has ever passed. They're talking about passing red flag laws, and we know what those are. So anybody who says anything against anybody, and suddenly the police are there to take your weapons because, after all, you've been red flagged. You're a potential problem. You had an argument with somebody, or somebody said something you didn't like, or you said something they didn't like, or you had some words, or you had maybe had an issue on the road with somebody, and they took your license down, and suddenly they're calling you in and saying that you're a person who is a potential danger. Oh, you own firearms? Okay, yeah, we got to go get those firearms. I mean, folks, this stuff is subject to such abuse that it's beyond the pale to even consider it. What we need to be doing is looking at working through mental health professionals and working through, of course, law enforcement and dealing with people who are showing symptoms of being a danger to themselves and to others, not having this open-ended, you report somebody. I mean, folks, some of these people, I think they really do want a communist, Stalinist-type country where everybody spies on everybody, and everybody reports everybody, and everybody's trying to be in the good graces of the party, you know, because that's how you get all the stuff that you need. This is wicked. This stuff is just evil. And of course, they're talking about banning magazines that are that hold more than 10 rounds. And I've said before, folks, that's going to turn. I guarantee you, we've got 8 million people, close to 8 million people in Virginia. I guarantee you, how many adults? Let's just call it a third. Let's say about 0.5 million. Round it out to 3 million adults, okay? And of course, males and females own firearms. But let's just say there's 3 million adults. Well, we'll make it half. Let's say there's 4 million adults. Folks, you're going to turn probably a couple million people, maybe more, into criminals if they pass this law. They will turn people into, I would be one. Because, look, common pistols, a Glock 19 that holds 15 rounds, a Beretta 92 that holds 18 rounds, and you could just go on down the line with pistols that hold more than 10 rounds. That's not a big deal. Of course, the AR has a magazine that holds 30 rounds. You can get shotguns that have magazines that will hold more than, I don't know about 10 rounds, but I think they're going to outlaw shotguns that hold something less than that. I think the limit is eight cartridges for a shotgun. So they've got these, and then they're going to, of course, going to ban ARs altogether because those are considered, quote unquote, assault weapons. I mean, folks, this stuff is, it's bad. It's bad. In Virginia, where the father of the country, George Washington, led a militia of Americans who brought their own arms to fight because there was no money by Congress to purchase arms. People brought their own arms to fight. For the most part, I mean, I think the French provided some weapons toward the end, but for the most part, the colonial army was self-funded and self-armed. I mean, folks, this stuff is just, it's so un-American that it's hard to find words. So I went to this rally and had a chance to speak at the rally. You can find my remarks on our Facebook page, EW Jackson SR. You can see what I said. And you may find some postings in other places on the rally itself. I could not stay because I had to head up to D.C. for an early morning start the next day. But I was there for a good part of the time. And then, of course, it ended when they started a city council meeting. But here's the good news from the whole thing, folks. Here's the good news from the whole thing. The city of Chesapeake unanimously voted to make itself a sanctuary city. And, you know, Chesapeake may be one of the only cities in Virginia to do that because it is a city. It is, in fact, I think it's the third largest, most populous city in the Commonwealth of Virginia. But now it is more of a bedroom city. It does have some industries there, but I think most people would consider Chesapeake to be more of a bedroom town. It used to be a very, very rural place 20, 25 years ago, and that began to change, and now it's the third largest. I think Chesapeake got about 225,000 people now. So it's a good-sized city. And most cities, as you all know, are controlled by liberals. Well, not Chesapeake. And I lived there for 20 years. Great place to live, really is. My wife and I moved because we were just looking for a little bit more rural setting. So, folks, that's some good news, you know. So take that to heart. Unanimously, the city council said we are a sanctuary city. God bless them. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
The common refrain from Democratic presidential candidates proposing massive spending programs is that only the rich will be taxed. They insist that we could afford a European-style welfare state if only we taxed the rich like they do in Europe. The editors at the Wall Street Journal have an answer to that. Europe's beleaguered middle class knows better. First, let's admit that most European nations do have larger welfare and entitlement programs than in America. Part of the reason is these countries don't have to spend as much on defense because the U.S. spends enough on defense to defend this country as well as European countries. But the higher spending in Europe has to be funded by more taxes. The editors explain that Europe has learned the hard way that the rich aren't rich enough to pay for their entitlement, so the continent duns the middle class. These European nations have found lots of ways to tax their citizens. Let's count some of them. European income tax rates are higher than the U.S. because the highest marginal rates kick in at much lower levels. And it's also true that the progressive tax rate is much higher in these countries than in this country. Higher income tax rates, however, are not enough to fund these welfare states. Governments also impose payroll taxes that are called social insurance contributions. Again, these rates are much higher than what Americans pay for Social Security and Medicare. Europe also imposes a value-added tax called a VAT tax with a flat rate that averages around 21%. Add to that excise taxes on fuel that are at least twice the percentage of what is paid in the United States. And I might add that Britain takes more from the middle class with a stamp tax on property purchases. Don't believe the rhetoric that only the rich will pay. Europeans know that the middle class will pay because they're being taxed on everything. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Antisemitism, go to viewpoints.info/antisemitism. Viewpoints.info/antisemitism.
So when people first hear about MediShare, they have questions, some really good questions, starting with the obvious, what is it? Well, MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's not health insurance. It's a different way of doing things, which leads us to the next question. Why do people do this? Why do they become MediShare members? Here are two of the biggest reasons. Number one, people feel good about it. They're not trapped in a plan that makes them pay for things they don't believe in. They know their money is going to help people. And the second reason, people save a lot of money. Maybe you've heard us mention the typical family saves about $500 a month switching to MediShare. And one more big question, does it work? The answer is yes, 1,000 times yes, or 400,000 times, since that's how many MediShare members there are, and they've shared over $2 billion in medical expenses. So easy to find out right now how MediShare can work for you. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Ryan Fisher here. The Horowitz Report exposes the president's enemies for the frauds that they are. More proof that Washington has a spending problem, not a revenue problem. Cuba shows what happens to agriculture under socialism. And a law school student is expelled because he's happy with the color of his skin. That and more next on Focal Point.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
By the way, let me qualify and clarify. When I said they voted unanimously to become a sanctuary city, I mean a Second Amendment sanctuary city. I'm not talking about illegal immigration. I'm sure most of you who were listening to the program from the beginning understood that, but there might have been somebody joining in at the last minute hearing me say they voted unanimously to be a sanctuary city. I'm not talking about illegal immigration. I'm talking about Second Amendment. That means they're going to protect and defend the Second Amendment rights of their citizens. God bless them. I hope every town, every city, every county in America does exactly the same thing, whether laws are passed by their local legislature, their state legislature, or laws are passed by the federal legislature, the Congress and the Senate, because the Second Amendment does not give us the right to self-defense. It does not give us the right to bear arms. It simply acknowledges and secures a right that is given to us by Almighty God. And the only way to protect that right, folks, is you simply never, ever surrender it. You can't, because it's God-given. And government needs to get the message that you cannot subvert rights that are inherent in who we are as human beings because they are given to us by God. Now, folks, here's a little bit of history. Here's a little bit of history. This is 2019, right? Okay. Well, in 1918, on December 10th, the Soviet Union's Council of the People's Commissar mandated all Soviet citizens must surrender their firearms. Did you get that? On December 10th, 1918, the Bolsheviks, the Soviet Union, that had taken over Russia, they declared, according to the Council of the through the Council of the People's Commissar, all Soviet citizens were to surrender their firearms. And by the way, failure to do so would lead to criminal prosecution or execution. Folks, it is a mark of tyranny to disarm the population. I've said many times before, and I will say it again because it is worth saying, any person with a modicum of common sense knows. I was talking to my assistant who travels with me most of the time. We were coming back from Washington, D.C. last night, and he was saying exactly the same thing. Okay, you limit magazines. Do you think there's a single criminal who will say, oh, magazines with more than 10 rounds are not allowed? Okay, well, let's get rid of those. Let's get rid of those magazines that have more than 10 rounds, because after all, we don't want to be on the wrong side of the law when we're robbing or killing somebody, right? We want to make sure we do so with a handgun that meets the, I mean, folks, of course, it's as absurd as it sounds. Of course, criminals aren't going to do that. In fact, they will rejoice at the idea that fewer people will have any firearms, and those who have them will have, shall we say, less effective firearms, or firearms that are likely to give a criminal an advantage, since they are not going to limit their magazines and they're not going to limit their firepower and they're not going to limit themselves to things that aren't quote-unquote assault weapons. Now, anybody with common sense knows that. And you've got 300 million guns in America. Anybody with common sense knows you're not going to get rid of them. Because even if law-abiding citizens were to turn in all of their handguns, you know what would happen? You would have a lot more handguns in the hands of criminals because the black market would explode. So all you'd do is turn law-abiding citizens who don't turn those handguns in, as the Soviet Union, the People's Commissar. And, you know, that's what maybe that's an appropriate name for the General Assembly now, or at least the Democrats in the General Assembly who are going to vote for this nonsense. Maybe they should be called the People's Commissar, because they are talking about there's nothing in the legislation that grandfathers anybody in. There's nothing in the legislation that says, oh, you already own a firearm, you already own an AR, you already own a Glock 19, you already own a Beretta 92. Well, you could keep that, but they'll no longer be available for purchase. No. That's not what they're up to. They're going to outlaw the sale of them, and they're going to outlaw the possession of them. So if you own one, you are automatically engaged in criminal behavior. So, folks, that's how serious this stuff is. I mean, this is Politburo stuff. This is, I mean, frankly, it's communist is what it is. Because the way you get totalitarian control over people is you have to diminish or eliminate their independence. And we Americans value our independence. We want to take care of ourselves. We want to be able to defend ourselves. And there were law enforcement people out in Chesapeake, and I honored them because I do. I say, you know, We've got these police officers who put their lives on the line every day to try to keep us all safe, and God bless them. But we know that there are circumstances in which they simply cannot arrive in time to save your life. It is up to you ultimately. You are your own first line of defense, A. And B, you've got an inherent right to defend yourself, period. Even if they could get there immediately, you've got a right to defend yourself. And so you want to turn the police now from being people who defend us to people who have to take time away from real criminals and go after law-abiding citizens because some stupid politicians passed some dumb law that now turns a bunch of law-abiding citizens into criminals. And I guarantee you, those police officers, And there were a bunch of them out there because they were out there because they knew there's going to be a big crowd for the city council meeting. I guarantee you they're thinking to themselves, my father, my uncle, my cousin, my niece, my nephew, my brother, my friend, all these people that they know that own firearms, that they go out and shoot with and hunt with, what are they going to have to do, arrest those folks? They're going to have to go search their homes? Folks, I'll tell you something. If you told me when I was in my 30s that 30 years later something like this would be happening, I'd have laughed at you and probably said, nah, I mean, Americans know better than that. No, Americans are never going to let that happen. No politician would be stupid enough to even think that way. Look at where we've come, or maybe it would be better stated, look at where we've degenerated, or how we've degenerated, or the depths to which we've sunk in some precincts in our thinking, in our attitude, in our approach to some of these things. So, folks, just we need to pray and pray for my beloved Virginia. I love Virginia. My wife and I intentionally came to Virginia because my ancestry is from Virginia, and I happen to have a special affection for Virginia because of the great role that it played in the formation and the founding and the establishment of this country, and so many of the great founding fathers and first presidents came from Virginia, and look at what they're trying to turn it into. I mean, Thomas Jefferson and Patrick Henry and George Washington must be looking over the balcony of heaven right now, shaking their heads, saying, well, we told them a republic if they could keep it. And it looks like we've got some folks down there trying to run Virginia who don't intend to keep it a republic. They intend to turn it into some sort of totalitarian state. Kill babies and rob people of their right to defend themselves against criminals and tyrants. But that's a, you know, and those make perfect sense, right? Those, yeah, of course they are. Of course they are. You know why? Because they're just both born of an evil, wicked, demonic vision of life. Kill babies, no problem. Oh, you meant to abort that baby, but it's alive. Oh, just go right ahead and kill it. No problem. Oh, you were a law-abiding citizen. You brought this gun. Well, too bad. Too bad. Open the door. Give them up. You don't get to keep that. Folks, that's exactly what the Bolsheviks did on December 10th of 1918. And is that what's coming to America? Well, thank God for the city of Chesapeake. Unanimous vote by the city council. By the way, I'm pretty sure there are a couple of Democrats on the city council, and if they voted for this, I commend them. I really do, because they went against the trend of their party, and that's why I say it's ultimately not about party. It's ultimately about principle. It's just that one party seems to have gone so far off the deep end, you have to wonder whether anybody who's a part of it can ever behave in an appropriate way, can ever conduct themselves in office in an appropriate way because of the tremendous pressure that is on them to conform to the very far-out ideas that have now enveloped this party and captured the imagination of so many of its people. But apparently not everybody. I haven't gotten the facts on that yet, but as soon as I do, I'll let you know, because I will even make a special mention of those people, because God bless them. I mean, somebody's got to stand up for the inherent rights of Americans. Somebody's got to speak up for the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, and the Bill of Rights. Somebody's got to stand up for the American people as a free people, a liberty-loving people. And frankly, if you're willing to do that, I don't care what your party label is, you have my commendation. Number is 888-589-8840. We'll be back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus had these words to say. But I say to you that hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Edwin Stanton lived from 1814 to 1869. He was a nervous, cranky, and contradictory lawyer who worked his way up after dropping out of college because of a lack of funds. Stanton served as the Attorney General in the cabinet of President James Buchanan. Stanton also was a sharp critic of Abraham Lincoln and had many unkind words for the man who followed Buchanan as the President of the United States. He often spoke of Lincoln as a low, cunning clown, and even nicknaming the original gorilla. Stanton went so far as to suggest to a famous hunter of the time that he was a fool to wander over Africa trying to catch a gorilla when he could have easily found one in Springfield, Illinois. Well, after Lincoln was elected president, he was influential in acquiring a post as legal advisor to Simon Cameron, Secretary of War, for Stanton. Even after this favor, Stanton continued his harsh criticism of Lincoln. Many people were shocked when Lincoln appointed Stanton as the Secretary of War following the resignation of Cameron. It was hard for them to understand why Lincoln would give such a high, important post to a man who had continually criticized him and his policy. While Stanton was treating Lincoln in such a manner, Lincoln continued to show Stanton every courtesy. He never spoke to him harshly or returned hateful remarks with hateful remarks. Lincoln appointed Stanton to the job of Secretary of War for one simple reason. Stanton was the best man for the job. Lincoln knew this and did not let the ugliness of Stanton stop him from making the appointment. On the night of April the 14th, 1865, Lincoln was watching a play entitled Our American Cousin from a box at Ford's Theater in Washington. During the play, a man by the name of John Wilkes Booth entered the box where Lincoln was sitting and shot the president in the head. During the confusion that followed, Lincoln was carried to a little room where an attempt was made to save his life. Into that room that night came several people. They watched, stunned, as their president lay dying. Among those who were there was Edwin Stanton, the man who had been so harsh and critical of the president, despite the fact that the president had shown him every courtesy and kindness. Looking down at the rugged form of a gentle man, Stanton spoke through tears. "There lies the greatest ruler of men the world has ever seen," he said. You know, Jesus once said, "Love your enemies and pray for your persecutors and those who treat you spitefully." Stanton had learned the hard way that this was the highest and noblest way of living ever given to mankind. And his criticism was finally silenced by love.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
All right, folks, I'm going to start taking your calls in this segment. Just stand by for a second. The number is 888-589-8840. Just want to add something about impeachment. At the summit that I told you all I attended, there was a very interesting debate that went on, and I want to put it before you all and have those of you who are thinking about this stuff or interested in it comment on it. And the debate was between two different perspectives on this impeachment. One perspective said, you know what? This impeachment, as stupid as it is, it's helping the president of the United States to keep doing the work that he's doing. It's making it more likely that he gets elected. And so the Senate ought to have a full-blown impeachment hearing and bring out the information about Joe and Hunter Biden and the corruption. By the way, folks, let me tell you something. I just bought a book by Peter Schweitzer. It's called Peter Schweitzer. It's called Secret Empires. Secret Empires. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. This stuff about Hunter Biden, one of the things the book points out, he was getting not $50,000 a month. He was getting $83,333.33 a month because the contract was for $1 million a year. He did it for 3 years and made $3 million. Did you all see a report today that in one instance he told some woman that he was seeing that he had a diamond that was given to him by communist China? And, of course, you all know the contract for an investment contract for his business, $1.5 billion in value. And by the way, Joe Biden was the administration's representative for Ukraine and China. Now, you want to tell me that's a coincidence? And you want to tell me that, oh, there's nothing there, there's nothing to see? Give me a break. That doesn't even pass the smell test. And some people argue, let's get it all out. Let's go ahead and have a full-blown hearing and call these people in for witnesses. You think that's what we ought to do? Or do you think that ultimately that might end up hurting the president because it just bogs the country down and all this, these details and minutiae? On the other hand, there was one group that said, no. The Senate ought to dismiss the thing. Get rid of it. Throw it out. Just treat it like what it deserves. Toss it in the trash and be done with it. And I tell you, folks, I see value on both sides. I do know that the polls are increasing. They're getting better for the president because I think people are seeing the travesty of this nonsense and realizing these people, instead of doing the people's business, these congressmen, these Democrats, instead of doing the people's business, instead of taking care of a lot of the outstanding issues, getting the border secured, working out a decent approach to how we provide health care to those who simply cannot provide it for themselves, because as you all know, we end up paying for it anyway. So how do we do that in a reasonable, rational way without going into the single-payer nonsense? Some of the trade deals that we need to the president is still working on that are going to need to be addressed. Infrastructure. We've got bridges and roads that are in desperate need of repair and rebuilding. We got a lot of issues that need to be addressed in this country. Our educational system is in a mess. It's in a mess. But no. Instead of dealing with those kinds of problems or debating those problems or trying to provide some leadership, no. Their hatred of this president and the 63 million people who voted him has taken over their minds. They are blinded, and all they can do is see his destruction. That's all. They don't see building the country. In fact, they don't care how much this whole process hurts the country, as long as they get their way. And that's why, as far as I'm concerned, it is a communist show trial, a Stalinist show trial. That's all they've engaged in. And I really do hope and pray, folks, that it blows up in their faces and they face on November 3rd, 2020, a tsunami of voters who are just disgusted. And I'm talking about even voters who may belong to the Democrat Party who just say, you know what, this enough of this. This man is got the economy booming, people back to work, businesses doing better, unemployment down, income up. He's working out trade deals with foreign countries to put America in a safer, that is in a more economically advantaged position. He's bringing our troops home from places where we don't really believe they need to be any longer. I mean, he is putting America first, and they want to get rid of him for that? Well, let's get rid of them. And by the way, one other thing, and then I'm coming to the lines. On this Ukraine deal, Obama wouldn't give Ukraine any kind of aid for military purposes. He was so busy. How can I say this in an appropriate way? He was so busy licking the boots of Putin. Yeah, I said it that way because that's exactly what it was. He was so busy licking the boots of Putin that, you know, remember when he told Medvedev, tell Vladimir that as soon as I get through the election, I'll have more flexibility. Oh, now see, to me, that's not impeachable, but it's disgusting. It's disgusting, particularly coming from a man who went around the world apologizing for America and telling the whole world how bad we are as a country. Ugh. And they want to impeach the president because he asked the president of Ukraine to look into this whole issue of the connection between Burisma and the Bidens? I mean, please. You know what, folks? If that's an impeachable offense, according to what the founding fathers had in mind, then I am a jolly green giant and I stand 100 feet tall. Okay? So okay, that's it. The number is 888-589-8840. Let's go to the lines. We've got Gordon from Kentucky. Gordon, welcome. Gordon, you're on.
Hello, brother. My jolly green giant. I was going to talk about the Texas A&M. I think that's back in the 60s with the tower, clock tower shooting. He just had a 5-round magazine with a 6mm.
Wow. Well, I didn't realize that. See, it doesn't make sense, does it?
And then if you was to get tired of Virginia, come on over to Kentucky. It used to be part of Virginia, so you'd still be continuing a little bit like Virginia.
Well, listen, Gordon, thank you for the invitation. I don't think my wife's going to let me move her again, but I'll tell you something. It's crossed my mind. It has crossed my mind. But I'm going to try to stay here and fight for the state of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Patrick Henry and see if we can't restore this state to what it's supposed to be. So, but God bless you. Thanks for the call, Gordon. We appreciate it. And thanks for the invitation to move to Kentucky. I love Kentucky.
We don't have a good governor no more.
From what I understand, that was an anomaly. You know what I mean? He kind of had some issues. But I think across the board, you all elected conservative Christian leadership in Kentucky, except for the governorship. So I'm going to treat that as an anomaly. Here, we haven't done that in 10 years. So, but thanks for the call, Gordon. Let's go to Richard in Texas. Richard, welcome. Richard, you're on.
Hello, my brother.
Hello, Richard.
I just recently started listening to you, and I really admire you. Thank you for being out there for me. I'm a fellow veteran. I was born and raised under the communist system. I immigrated the first chance I got, and I'll tell you, I will defend this country against all enemies. Foreign and domestic.
Mm. Amen. Richard, where did you come from?
I came from Hungary.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. Well, Richard, God bless you, because you know what I think sometimes? People like you appreciate freedom more than Americans who are born here and raised here and have a tendency to take it for granted.
I love what you said. I thank God every day I wake up. I'm sorry for getting emotional, for waking up under free skies.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, Richard, it's real, isn't it? It's real. Thank you, man, for the call. Sure. I think you probably
Thank
brought
you for
tears.
You.
Thank you, Richard. You probably brought tears to a lot of eyes, because I think that's the way all of us feel who love this country and love freedom and understand and appreciate what it really is. I just wish all Americans, Richard, had the same perspective that you had, but since they've never lived without freedom, for some reason, some just don't seem to appreciate it, want to take us in the direction of taking our freedom away. Well, folks, the number is 888-589-8840. Stand by. We'll be back in a moment.
The pain I was feeling wasn't my pain. It wasn't like, man, she's going to be mad and I have to go through this again.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and Nick Stumble remembers the moment he realized his addiction was painful for his wife.
I think it was for the first time I could see in advance the pain it was going to cause her. And it was heartbreaking to realize I would do this to someone I care about so much, and I could feel the way it was going to make her feel, because we'd been through this enough times that I could hear the words she was going to say, and I was feeling her pain. And I think that's what really opened my eyes to say, this is a major issue that I have to address. I can't just keep excusing it to say, oh, it's getting better, I'm working on it. Like, if I'm causing someone I love this much pain, I've got to be willing to do whatever it takes to stop it.
Well, it wasn't easy, but Nick did eventually stop. And you can hear more from him today at familyminute.org.
If you're like us, you have a few questions for Chick-fil-A. Recently, AFA sent a letter and over 100,000 signatures to Dan Cathy asking a couple of questions. But so far, Chick-fil-A has not responded. We asked if they would acknowledge that the Salvation Army and Fellowship of Christian Athletes are not hate groups, and if Chick-fil-A would be willing to support those groups again in the future. Maybe with a few more Christian voices asking, Chick-fil-A will respond. Sign our letter to Chick-fil-A at afa.net.
Ah, Christmas. The time of year we gather together to celebrate the birth of Jesus. We hang our decorations, cook our food, and wrap our gifts. Speaking of gifts, the AFA Naughty or Nice retailer list is now available. So as you do your shopping, you can make sure you support those that support Christmas. Visit afa.net to find the AFA Naughty or Nice retailer list. And make sure you keep Christ in Christmas.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Such comfort. And yet, can you imagine having never read those words for yourself? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, and we've been engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years for $5 a Bible. You know, there are Christians in Asia, Africa, Europe, Latin America, and the Middle East who've never held a Bible in their own hands because of corrupt governments that oppress, majority religions that persecute, and other conditions related to living remotely and in extreme poverty. Some of these new believers, they memorize long stretches of Scripture, while others cherish the Word they heard preached on Sunday until they can gather again. They long for God's Word to hold in their hands and to cherish in their hearts as they grow in His grace and knowledge. Details on how you can be involved are at sendbiblesnow.com. That's sendbiblesnow.com or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Wow, folks. Richard really got me stirred up because you know, Richard got emotional talking about this country. And see, that's the way I believe every American ought to feel. And why some of us do and others don't. Why some can burn the flag and some can take a knee when they ought to be standing up out of respect for the flag and all of that. It's really difficult for me to understand. And I guess the only way to explain it is some of us, either because we've studied world history or we know enough about the world political environment to understand that America really is unique and exceptional, or some of us just have a heart of gratitude and appreciation for what's possible in this country. It's difficult to explain why some people who live here and grow up here seem to hate this country, and why somebody like Richard, on the other hand, who escaped from Hungary to get here, comes to tears talking about it. But that's the way I feel every American ought to think. And unfortunately, we've got a bunch of schools that are indoctrinating our young people to hate our country. In fact, later on this month, folks, in about a week, we're going to have Mary Grabar on, or Graybar on, who's written a book called Debunking Howard Zinn. And I think I've mentioned in Howard Zinn's book, A People's History of the United States, is one long diatribe against this country. And a lot of our young people have been exposed to it. And what they leave with is hatred for America. But thank God for Richard and all of you patriots out there who love this country. And we love liberty. And frankly, in the name of Jesus, nobody is going to take it away, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And like Richard was saying, we're going to defend America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Okay, let's pick up Dave in Indiana. Dave, welcome. Dave, you're on.
Hi, Bishop Jackson. We really appreciate you here in the heartland.
Thank you, Dave.
I'm calling to quote a couple of your fellow Virginians. The first one is Thomas Jefferson. He said, "You have a right and a duty to be at all times armed." The second one is Patrick Henry. He said, "Never give up the popular ownership and use of arms. Whenever you give up that force, you are inevitably ruined." I think that says it all, Bishop.
Yes, it does, Dave. Yes, it does. And I think because they were people who were accustomed to what tyrants tried to do and had experienced what a tyrant would try to do, I think they're warning all of us that it's the motive of tyranny to try to get people to give up their right of self-defense. And that's exactly what happened in the Soviet Union on December 10th, 1918. And it's not going to happen here. So thanks for the call, Dave. We appreciate it. Let's go to Amber Dawn in Louisiana. Amber, welcome.
Hello. How are you?
I'm blessed, Amber. How are you? Or Amber, I guess it's, is it Amber Dawn? Do people call you Amber Dawn?
My name is I Am That I Am, and I've come here to let every single body know.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's go to James in Tennessee. James, welcome.
Yeah, hello.
Hey, James.
James calls. I'm so fast, I almost didn't understand it. I had two comments to make. One is you were talking about the power of government. There's one thing that very few people really seem to realize about the power of our government in the United States. There is no document, no charter for any government in the United States that ever gives the government the right to rule. We delegate authority to rule. We never give the government the right to rule. Only citizens have rights. And the delegated authority then is propagated in a very limited set of powers to implement the delegated authority. Mm-hmm. But we never give the government the right to rule. And I think there's a lot of people, especially politicians, that forget that.
Amen, James. Thank you for the call. James is absolutely right. We don't have rulers in our country. We have governmental authorities that to whom we delegated power as the sovereigns of this nation. The sovereigns are the people. We delegated power to them to protect our God-given rights and to govern our nation according to the laws that are passed, that we, with the consent of we, the people. So, but here again, how many people understand that? That's why you all will hear me say again and again, we are not a democracy. We are not a democracy. And even I hear some conservatives even call us a democracy. We're not. We are a constitutional republic because we acknowledge that our rights and liberties don't come from a vote of the people. They come from God. And our Constitution acknowledges those rights and gives limited power to the government to protect those rights and to do what is necessary to govern this nation. And that's it. I mean, so I'm just not sure even how many politicians fully understand that. And these knuckleheads here in Virginia who want to pass these onerous gun control laws to basically what they really want to do is invalidate the Second Amendment. They have no clue how our government really works. And that's a sad situation when we have people supposedly serving us in office who don't even understand what James just explained, the nature of American government. Right. Government doesn't have rights. It only has delegated authorities. The people have rights. And we delegate our authority to the government to secure those rights and to run the government. That's it. Not to run us, but to run the government. Okay. Let's go to WD in North Carolina. WD, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
I'm blessed. How are you doing?
I'm extremely blessed. Thank you.
Amen.
Like Richard, I'm a fellow vet, and I think it needs to be an investigation with Dirty Joe Biden and then some other.
I agree. Was that it?
No. What I really want to see in America is a convention of the states under Article 5, where the states take control of the government. Because we know the government is not going to control themselves. They can't.
Okay, WD, I appreciate that. You made two good points. We're not getting the best kind of sound from you, but thank you for that. We may do a program on a convention of the states, because obviously it's out there and people are talking about it, and it's something I haven't made a firm decision, but I tell you, I'm moving more and more toward that as an option, because we just got to have some way of arresting this constitutional decline that we're experiencing where people just ignore the Constitution and do whatever they want to do. So that may be the answer. I'm not saying that from my perspective, that's absolutely it, but I think it's worth discussing. That's for sure. Let's go to Wesley in Georgia. Wesley, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Bishop. Thanks for having me. I really enjoy your show, and I especially enjoy your sermons, and I thank you for putting those on Facebook for us to enjoy hearing the word through you, and God really speaks to me through you and really feeds me spiritually.
Amen. Thank you, Wesley. I appreciate hearing that.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I want to kind of ask you a favor almost. I know you got a lot more important battleground states to go to, but, man, I really would love for you to do a stand down here in Georgia, particularly Middle Georgia. If you can't make it in Middle Georgia, Atlanta, I could probably make it to Atlanta and come see you guys. And on a side note, I'd love to come to your church in Virginia sometime if I ever make it up there. But like I said, if you feel led to by the Lord and you get time, you can come to Georgia and do a stand rally or whatever you want to call it. Man, that would be awesome. So anyway, well, God bless and thanks.
God bless you, Wesley. Thank you. Folks, we're starting in January. We're going to start a Stand in Prayer for America line. And one of the things we're going to do with that line is give people a chance to connect with us and begin to pray about these things and pray about places. We've been looking at Georgia as a place to go because, frankly, our southern states, which used to be essentially invulnerable to the left's attacks, I think are more and more vulnerable. And here again, we really do need to have, talk about a wall. Yeah, we really need to have a wall of defense against the incursion by the left. So I appreciate that, Wesley. Let's see. Let's go to Matthew in Tennessee. Matthew, welcome.
Hello. It's a first-time caller, a long-time listener. I was just going to say that I'm a socialist, just to put it bluntly, and I agree that the right to defend your arms and everything else, that is fundamental. I mean, Marx himself wrote that the working man should never be disarmed. You know, that is a fundamental defense of the working class, is having the right to bear arms. If the working class is disarmed, then they have no means by which to defend themselves against corrupt police or imperialists or capitalist exploitation.
But so, you realize, don't you, Matthew, that the moment – wait a minute, Matthew, you realize the moment communists take over, once they are in power, they believe they represent the proletariat, and therefore there's no longer any need for the people to be armed because now they represent the people, whereas before the people didn't have the representation, so they were thinking – more these people could join their army and join their revolution. But once the revolution is completed, in every communist system, the people are disarmed. And I'm shocked, Matthew, that you would buy into socialism anyway. I want to try to get another call in, but Matthew, call me again when we got a little bit more time, because I want you to explain to me, Matthew of Tennessee, explain to me how in the world you bought into socialism, period, because frankly, it is an evil and wicked and dead-end ideology. All right, let's go to Ron in Tennessee as well. Ron, we just had one of your Tennessee buddies tell me that he's a socialist. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Ron. Quickly, Ron, what can you say? What do you have to say?
Well, one thing, thank you for sharing the word. I'm glad that every kid don't go to college because they could become liberals. And I just realized that I was cleaning my AR when you were talking about all this.
Hey, Ron, that's it. I got to go. But listen, folks, thank you all so much for praying for me. Those of you who I couldn't get to or those of you who I didn't have much time with, call me again, okay? And let's get you on early so we have time to talk. And remember, folks, I don't care how bad it looks. We cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.